today on Ag News Daily.
It's amazing what they went through during that storm. Some of the photographs and video are just unbelievable. I know guys actually digging cattle up by hand.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Pearson here on this warm and summery feeling Wednesday afternoon, at least here in Iowa. I am joined today by a congested and slightly sickly sounding Delaney Howell. Delaney, how you doing?
I'm good, Mike. Well, I'm not really good.
Are you good?
No, because this is our second time now recording the podcast for today. My illness is affecting my mental capacity. I thought I was recording, and I guess I wasn't. So now we're doing a take two on today's podcast. Guys, I'm not feeling well. I just kind of want to, like, crawl into a little ball. I took a Z-Pack last week. I thought I was going to be on the up and up, and I woke up the other morning, and I'm congested, and I am hacking up a lung, I feel like, every 5 minutes. I sound like a man or a smoker.
A little bit. We need to get you some steak and eggs, Delaney. That'll cure what ails you.
I hope
need to get
so.
You an over medium egg topped off or on top of
I really,
an 18-ounce ribeye.
I haven't even had an appetite lately.
See, that's the trouble. You need to cram some bacon down that gullet. That'll heal you right up.
Some bacon, huh?
Yeah, it'll you know, lubricate your insides with grease, which is good for you.
Make my throat feel a little less scratchy, maybe.
Absolutely. But, all right, so that's the disgusting update on your health. Is some of the update we've got in the world of agricultural news.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just kick it off here with some news related to disaster aid and what's going on in our parts of Nebraska and South Dakota that have been hit so hard. We saw in the Senate, they voted 90-10 to clear kind of the first steps here in debating the already House-passed version of a $14.2 billion disaster aid package. That $14.2 billion disaster aid package is largely geared towards funds for states devastated by hurricanes, wildfires, tornadoes, etc., and severe weather that happened in 2018 and 17. But the Senate plan that was introduced today also includes a $3 billion package for farm disaster assistance, $150 million to rebuild rural community facilities, and another $480 million for emergency forest restoration. So a lot of that money is largely going to help out some of those folks that have been hit so hard by the flooding going on in Nebraska, South Dakota, Missouri, parts of western Iowa. We also saw that Secretary Sonny Perdue made mention of some USDA programs that also might be able to assist some of those people. There are about 7 different programs that producers could take advantage of if they are feeling effects from flood or maybe concerned about whether or not they're going to take prevent plant takers or had grain bins explode or whatnot. So we've got the emergency loan program. We've got the livestock indemnity program, non-insured crop disaster assistance program, the emergency assistance for livestock, honeybees, and farm-raised fish program, the environmental quality incentives program, emergency watershed protection program, and rural development programs just in general. But we still don't know what's going to happen for those folks that had grain bins explode or become devastated by these floods.
Yeah, inundated by floodwaters.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Inundated.
I mean,
that was the word I was looking for.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
I bet it was. Inundated. Well, you know, and you mentioned Secretary Perdue coming out. He made a statement late yesterday, basically talking about those programs that you mentioned, and there is a maze of programs available, and Secretary Perdue said, quote, "I encourage area farmers and ranchers to contact their local USDA service center so we can work with them to identify the resources and tools needed to reestablish their operations. While farmers and ranchers in the area are resilient, the pain is real. We will do everything in our power at USDA to be as helpful as we possibly can," end quote. So Secretary Perdue has spent the last 2 years working to make USDA service centers more customer-focused. And Delaney, I tell you what, this is going to be a big test of how that overhaul has been working, because there are a lot of growers and ranchers who are going to need to get in there and get pointed in the right direction. And USDA workers, boy howdy, we're all pulling for you. You got your work cut out for you, negotiating and navigating that maze of programs that are available and making sure growers can get the assistance they need here in this time of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is going to be really important to see if they can follow through on their promises to really change the way USDA handles some of this business.
Yes. And get in there, check it out. Growers, get in there soon. At least make a call. Let them know that you will be needing assistance. And, you know, by all means, let's get this paperwork started as soon as we possibly can. So hopefully you can get some assistance, be it financial or mm-hmm. organizational or whatever is available. Get it in your hands as soon as possible because planting season is right around the corner.
It is. And, I mean, you look at so many of those fields, I can't imagine some of these people that planting is going to be right around the corner for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. But you've seen it up close and personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll continue to keep an eye on this news. And actually, speaking of news about the flooding, there was a positive story that made the news yesterday. Fox News picked up some photos that were circulating on social media, Facebook and Twitter, of loads of Iowa hay headed to Nebraska. And I've seen similar photos of Montana hay, of South Dakota hay, Wyoming hay. Farmers and ranchers across the country are doing what we do best in times of trouble, which is supporting our fellow friends and neighbors, even if we've not met them and they're 1,000 miles away. But I just thought it was fantastic to see Fox pick up this story and give it some nationwide press because, unfortunately, folks outside the Midwest, this devastation, this flooding, is they're not familiar with it. It just hasn't caught national attention with all of the Mueller Report business and the Green New Deal business and the other shenanigans coming out of Washington, D.C., and hopefully this story getting some national press will help inspire others to donate what they can and to lend a hand to our fellow farmers and ranchers in need here this season.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, we see so many things in the news right now taking away from really what's going on in the heartland. One of those, as you mentioned, Mike, is the Green New Deal. I know people tagged you on Facebook and Twitter, and people sent me a couple of things, especially when you look at Senator Mike Lee. He presented kind of this funny depiction of the Green New Deal, and one of those pieces was about airline flights and just essentially creating these, like, fake made-up animals of, oh, this is how Hawaii will get to the mainland, and this is how Alaska will be able
using
to...
some internet memes to poke some fun.
And... Yeah, and so we see that that actually made it to the floor. We saw senators on Tuesday promptly shot it down, and Democrats blasted GOP leaders for holding kind of a, quote, sham vote. But we also saw Republicans say and call this Green New Deal a disastrous socialist vision as well as a, quote, big green bomb. So it really felt like between what Ocasio-Cortez put forth and then what Mike Lee put forth, kind of making a mockery of this whole thing. And I feel like they wasted time by even giving this time on the floor in the first place.
Well, and that's the Democrats' argument. They were saying, you know, it wasn't quite ready for prime time, and the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell kind of rushed it in. You know, hey, if you want it, vote for it. But nobody was ready. A lot of them voted present. You know, at the end of the day, this is a harbinger of things to come, Delaney. We're in 2019. Mm-hmm. We're looking down the barrel of a presidential run in 2020, and we're starting to get some of these grandstanding events beginning to take place. In fact, just here about 2 hours ago, there was a meeting in Iowa. Senator Elizabeth Warren sat down with the Des Moines Register to talk through one of her newest proposals, and I don't have the details on it yet. I assume we will get full details here later this afternoon. We'll have them for the podcast tomorrow. But basically, she is taking aim at, quote-unquote, corporate agriculture. She wants to change the way some of the large companies do business in rural America. And she specifically mentions DuPont, Pioneer, Bayer gets a shout-out, and Tyson all got shout-outs in her conversation earlier with the Des Moines Register. And, you know, trying to, quote, break up some of the monopolies that are driving business in rural Iowa. And, you know, it's no surprise. She is looking to make a 2020 presidential run, so she's coming to Iowa and addressing some concerns here in agriculture. As we get some details, as we get more light on what it is she's proposing, we'll get some more in-depth reportage on it and see what exactly is the senator from Massachusetts talking about here as it relates to agriculture.
Doesn't sound like anything too good.
Well, you know, it all depends on how the details break out and, you know, where you stand. Those companies have grown very, very large over the past couple of years. We do see a continued depletion of competition, at least on the large scale in agriculture. So We'll get the details, and then we'll start making up our minds.
There we go. Well, if you want to talk about grandstanding, it looks like we've seen China kind of grandstanding with the United States. We saw them buy rice purchases. Now we're seeing some new news come to light here about rice being imported from China in Puerto Rico. The U.S. Rice Federation is demanding that a Puerto Rican company, I think it's Pan America, stop hiding the fact that they're importing Chinese rice and then turning around and marketing that Chinese rice as either domestic Puerto Rican rice or U.S. origin rice. They are flooding the markets. There's a lot of people concerned in the rice industry that they're falsely labeling cheaper rice as U.S. product. I mean, they are really kind of affecting the rice industry, and they're flooding the global industry with this fake rice. Or, well, not fake rice, but rice that's
mislabeled, apparently.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if labels are going to mean anything, they have to be honest. And so it's good to see this come to light. You know, I'm sure the lawyers will get to work finding loopholes and everything else, but this is a story I think we'll have to continue following. And listeners, you know, Delaney and I, we're not terribly connected to the rice industry.
I like to eat rice.
Right, exactly. I love it steamed. I love it fried. Yeah, I love it with a little soy sauce.
Uh-huh.
But if you're actually in the industry, listeners, reach out to us. That's an industry we'd love to learn more about. We'd love to have some more expertise here on the podcast as it relates to rice. So give us a holler. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for Ag News Daily. We'll be there. We'll respond. We got a full company of workers ready
yeah,
to
me and you.
Me, you, and Madison.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, but Delaney, let's see. What other news sources do you have, or what other news do you have for us today?
That was all the news that I really had for today, Mike. What about you?
You know, I just have a couple more stories. Quick one. We got a report from the Commerce Department earlier today. The trade deficit with China dropped bigly in January. China, of course, stepped up their purchases of U.S. soybeans. That caused soybeans plus some crude oil exports caused a 14% drop in the trade deficit with China. Basically, it now stands at a little over $51.5 billion for the month of January. And it didn't, of course, do anything for the markets today. This is January numbers. But it does, I think, help us out. It's another shout-out to Washington, D.C. that, hey, agriculture and agricultural products can be fantastic tools in leveling these trade deficits and evening the playing field with China. So hopefully it'll buy us some good press in D.C. The other news story I had, Delaney, again, government report shocked the markets today. Crude oil stocks rose unexpectedly last week. Basically, market analysts were anticipating a decrease of 2.1 million barrels in crude oil supplies here in the country. However, they rose by 2.8 million barrels. So at the end of the day, there's 4 million more barrels of crude oil sitting in this country than analysts were anticipated. That is going to be bearish on price. It's good news for those of you who haven't yet perhaps contracted your January fuel needs, or not January, but planting fuel needs. But it's bad news for ethanol producers who have been struggling to find a margin. This will, I expect, put continued pressure on gasoline prices, which will, in turn, put continued pressure on ethanol producers who are struggling. And that, Delaney, wraps up my news for the day.
Okay. Well, there was a lot to unpack there, Mike. I know one of the things that we need to unpack is also the commodity markets for today. Mike, will you do us the honors?
I will love to, and I tell you what, if you are an end user of corn and soybeans, today was a great day for buying. If you are a producer, it was a tough day for making sales. A lot of red on the screen, but our markets are brought to us by our great friends at the Zahner Group. And remember, market volatility can create challenges. It can also create opportunities. If you need assistance with your marketing, reach out to our friends at Zahner. You can reach them at 312-277-0050 or visit them on the web at Zahner, Zahner.com, and tell them you heard it on Ag News Daily. In corn, the May corn contract dropped 3.5 cents at 373.75. December new crop down 2.25 to close at 398 even. Soybeans, oof, ugly day in the soybean pits. May contract down 13.25 cents at 887.5. November new crop down 11.5 cents. Finished the day at 923.25. Slight strength in Chicago wheat. May contract up 0.25 cents at 469.5. The July up 0.5 cents to close at 475 even. Weakness in the cattle complex today. live cattle April contract down 65 cents at 126.25. The June down $1.12.50 to close at 119.60. In feeder cattle, the April contract dropped 32.5 cents at 145.90, with the May down 27.5. Closed the day at 149.52.50. And in hogs, front month April, big gainer on the day, up $1.60 at 81.32.5, with the May up 2.5 cents to close at 86.67.50. And we did see some green on the screen in the dairy markets. March Class 3 milk up 2 cents at 15.08, with the April up a nickel to close the day at 15.67. Delaney, why don't you tell us who we're talking to on this Wednesday edition of Ag News Daily?
Yes, well, we will be talking to Tim O'Byrne, who works with the Working Ranch magazine, and also they kind of just do a really interesting podcast, launched that a little while ago. But I'm going to turn it over to Tim here to talk about ranching in rural America.
Chatting with Tim O'Byrne today, who is the publisher and editor for the Working Ranch magazine. Tim, tell me a little bit, how did the Working Ranch magazine get started or come to be?
Well, we're in our 14th year now, Delaney, and it started, the guy that owns the magazine, Drew Lawler, he's a California guy, and he just had the idea kind of out of the blue that the beef production industry needed a magazine that was kind of a little bit, different. We're a little bit different than the other ones, and, we kind of thick, glossy kind of, lots of photography, that sort of thing. And so he called me up one day and said, hey, do you want to be part of this project? And I've been running with it ever since.
Wow, that's awesome. So 14 years. Tell me a little bit about, you're covering ranch life or beef production, but what are some specific topics, especially right now, that you're covering perhaps in the magazines?
Well, the one that got the most attention lately is the Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Gates talking about the methane emissions of cattle. And, that kind of got me a bit, I was a bit, because I didn't know the answers either. I was grasping at straw. And I thought to myself, what would I do if I met the Congresswoman in the hallway and, I had a chance to say, let's go down and have a cup of tea or coffee or something. I'm going to set you straight on these, on the hard facts. And I didn't have that. So I went to Dr. Sarah Place, and she's the lead researcher. You're going to have
the lead researcher for the NCBA.
So I got a hold of Dr. Sarah Place. She's the Senior Director for Sustainable Beef Production Research there at NCBA. And I said, I'm going to get some talking points, and I want to make it really clear, but they've got to come from irrefutable sources. So I found the sources I really wanted to use was NASA, and I wanted to use the National Academy of Sciences, and I wanted to use the Environmental Panel on Climate Change for the UN, and then finally Agricultural and Forest Meteorology and the U.S. EPA. Those kinds of, so now if I sat down with her and I said, okay, here's the facts about methane emission with cattle, and if you want to debate, you're not debating me, you're not debating the beef industry, you're going to be debating irrefutable science. And so that was pretty cool. I mean, we got some really neat talking points.
That's awesome. That's really neat that you had the opportunity to put that together and that you had a lot of response to that article. Tim, I want to ask you, since so many folks right now, especially in the Midwest and Upper Plains, are feeling the impacts from this flooding, what are you hearing from beef producers in particular?
Well, we have a very vibrant Facebook page. I always usually do a Friday post. One of our favorite people was Paul Harvey, and he always had a Friday post, a Friday thing on the radio. It's Friday. I kind of tried to replicate that a little bit on the Facebook page, and everybody comes back. We'll get 30 to 80 posts. There'll be videos, there'll be photographs and stuff, and it's amazing what they went through during that storm. Some of the some of the photographs and video are just unbelievable. You know, guys actually digging cattle out by hand, and the flooding, it's pretty bad in Nebraska is what I'm hearing, and it's kind of all hands on deck. Everybody's out there doing what they can, so we sure pray for them and hope that it subsides quickly.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are hoping that for sure, especially as we look at getting into, hopefully into planting and then into the summer grilling season, that we don't feel the effects of flooding and some of those animals dying from floods. Tell me, Tim, a little bit about your podcast. You guys run a podcast as well, so I've always got to promote other people's podcasts in agriculture.
Well, I'm sitting here minding my own business, doing the rubber pencil thing, and this renegade by the name of Jeff Tigger Earhart calls me up, and he stole a copy of Working Ranch from the sale barn, and he says to himself, I can make a podcast version of this thing. And so he calls me up, and I'm like, podcast? I'm serious, Delaney. I said that. I said,
you didn't know what it was?
That was only 2 years ago, and I seriously didn't know what it was. I thought it was what comes out the back of the combine when they're doing soybeans or something. I had no idea. And so he goes, okay, well, let me, block it all up and do whatever it is the radio people do, you guys. And he did, and then he said, I want you to kind of, come in with me as the co-host. And, I had to vet him out first because I didn't know who the heck he was. And it turned out to be he's an award winner. He won an Emmy, back in his TV days, so he knows what he's doing. And for some reason, I don't know, we just kind of clicked. Like, he's a really good cattleman. He's more into the genetics. I'm more into the cowboy stuff, and because I did the big outfit cowboy thing and the feed jars and stuff. And so we just kind of hit it off. We're irreverent, always teasing each other, but we can get really, we can go anywhere we want with our interviews because everybody knows Working Ranch Magazine and stuff. And so it's been really good. So we just celebrated 1 million feed hits a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
We're getting 300 and we're getting 315, 320 downloads a day off of that thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're getting a lot of people calling because we have a hotline that they can call 7 Ranch 15. You call it up, leave your beef, what's your beef hotline. We get all kinds of funny stuff, good stuff, good leads. Yeah, it's really I love doing it, and I didn't think I would, but I really do.
What's the most entertaining story that you've had somebody call in and share with you?
It was just actually the other day. This lady called up. She must have been back east someplace, but she said, "I'm going to turn you off of my iPad, and I can't." And I just moved, and I don't know where my Verizon account passwords are, but I can't get you to turn yourself off. It was like, no, you're going to have to get your name. Finally, she got her daughter to help her out. And so, I don't know. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. So, you guys have the physical magazine. You've got a podcast. You've also got a really interactive online platform. Tell me about some of the content folks could find if they head to workingranchmag.com.
Well, one of the cool things that we did was we started a video contest. Just take your phone, turn it sideways, and video for 20, 30 seconds. It doesn't need to be very long. Just, anything, what you're doing, what the kids are up to. Maybe you're, riding a colt for the first time or, bailing or something like that. Just, people want to see what you're doing. They want to see your operation. They want to see the lay of the land and what your equipment looks like and your cattle and everything. And that's been really, really good, really well received. We're getting videos all the time, and we post them on the website. Then we post them simultaneously on the Facebook page. And I think it's fun. I love social media. I didn't think I'd like it. Like, when we started the Facebook page, must have been about 8 years ago, when she came into my office and said, "You guys need a Facebook page." And I'm like, "Nah, I don't know. That's for..."
Yeah, social media is such
serious
a,
stuff over
yeah,
here.
It's such a great tool to be able to communicate with so many people across the entire U.S.
Well, and like we were living on the big ranches way out west, you know, and totally secluded and everything, and to be able to have a way to share what you're doing and see what other people are doing when you're that secluded, I mean, that is the best part of social media for us anyway. We just really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tim, let me ask you this, because this has been a question I've been kind of pondering, and you seem like the perfect person to ask it. So we've got podcasts, we've got radio, we've got digital, we've got social media. What do you think ranchers are going to want next to be able to communicate with one another, those folks out in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming or Montana, and be able to talk to producers and or ranchers in Nebraska or Iowa or Kansas?
I'm not too sure what could – I think maybe something a little – I think there needs to be a like an agriculture version of the web. It's got to be – it's got to be – it's got to be smaller, tighter. It's got to be cookhouse rules. When I say cookhouse rules, it means – you know, no, there's no bad mouth, and there's no negative energy. No, you know, it's something that the kids, it's a family platform. It's got to be something, and then it's got to be something where you can connect and you can share the best information of how we should be doing our producing our beef sustainably. And then it also needs to have an element where the people that don't know what we're doing, that think that cows are doing all this damage, that they can go there and they can see the best videos ever that explains it to them and shows them what we do and how we do it. And I think if we built something like that where it's, kind of a subscriber thing, or, you know, you got to be vetted out to get on it, or you at least have to, you know, have a personality, like a background checker, not a background check, but, you know, something like that.
They can't be faceless. Yeah,
you can't be faceless. And, you know, we're all in ranching, we're all only 3 degrees away from each other anyway, so, you know.
Interesting. I like that idea. Maybe we'll have to get a Master of the Minds meeting and work on something like that, Tim.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, because we there's so much stuff out there, and then we're getting bombarded by, you know, by too much aggressive marketing. And, you know, where you Google, fencing pliers, and then the next thing you've got 3 weeks of fencing plier ads popping in, you know, to your pains, I mean, when you're trying to work online. That kind of stuff, you know, we don't need that. I mean, there's ways to do it where it's not annoying, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tim, before I let you go, remind me again how folks can find your podcast and the website to find your great content.
So it's workingranchmag.com, and the podcast is archived on there, and it's actually on Podbean. So any of the iTunes app, any of the other apps, it's all over the place, Amazon.
Awesome. Tim, thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Hey, Delaney, thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, great stuff there. And folks, if you have an interest in ranching life, I would encourage you to check out their magazine or their podcast. A lot of great content, and they've been doing it for quite some time, turning their magazine content into podcast form.
Absolutely. Listen to it wherever you're going. I love learning about ranching, and, you know, I was a cowboy born in the wrong place and without...
The wrong era, maybe, too.
There are fantastic ranchers, you know, still today. You know, and I also I don't care for horses.
Oh,
well, I would not be a very good rancher.
That seems like an issue.
Probably. Yeah. If I could do it all on four-wheelers, I'd probably be okay.
Okay.
All right, Delaney, but great ag content, as you mentioned. If listeners want to get access to more fantastic ag content, including a new podcast, where should they go? Tell us, what is that new podcast?
Yes, I'm very excited. We've got the Agnes Answers podcast. It's kind of like a Dear Prudence column or an Ask the Expert column, specifically for agriculturally related problems related to relationships or personal life, as well as kind of the other facet, which is, you know, marketing, business, etc. So a really great podcast. There are 2 episodes launched on globalagnetwork.com or on iTunes and Google Play. So be sure to check out, again, that's called Agnes Answers.
Fantastic. And the listeners, check that out at the Global Ag Network. You can also get access to all of the Ag News Daily podcasts there at globalagnetwork.com. And Delaney, with that, should we let the people go?
Let's let them go.